And then the last thing is, have you eaten this morning? It's fasting. It's fasting. In verse 2 of chapter 13, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, in verse 3, after fasting and praying, it's actually Lent right now. And so the historic Christian tradition, all the way up into the Reformation, right? I don't know when the practice started. There's a Lenten practice of people who say, Jesus was tempted in the desert for 40 days, and so we too, for 40 days leading up to Easter, we will allow for a time of, and it's prayer and fasting. And we use the word fast fashionably, and we say, fasting, I'm giving up chocolate, right? In the Bible, fasting means not eating food. So you read the word fasting, it means not eating. So that's what you need to know. Just a health warning on fasting. I don't think that the Bible tells anybody who is unwell to stop eating. I think blood sugar problems or other, you know, dietary sensitivities. I don't know what your opinion is about how God works in medicine and health and well-being, but I don't think that because you read a word about fasting that then you become experimental. I think that these people were fasting because of the urgency of their need, and they were responding to that by just staying with the prayer meeting and not eating and not taking breaks, but praying. So maybe look at it that way. I'm not proclaiming a fast from the front, but I am saying that when you see people listening for God, fasting's involved. I went around the Bible and I looked up the three first instances of fasting recorded in Scripture, and you'd be surprised where they come from. They're really strange, not peripheral, it's a good story, all of it. In Judges, when there was civil war and people were fighting among themselves and Benjamin had done something horrible and all the rest of Israel was dealing with them, but Benjamin was a big group with hardy fighting people, they got beat the first time they went to deal with Benjamin. Benjamin had somebody there who was a rapist and a murderer, and they showed up at the town and they said, give us those people. And they said, no, those are our people, no. And then they fought over it in the name of justice and in the name of pride of identity of a group. They had this fight. And so the people who came against Benjamin lost, and what happened was, They came to Bethel and they wept, and they remained there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. They're seeking wisdom in battle. God, what are we going to do? They're clearly wrong. We came against them, then we lost. What are we going to do? The story goes on if you want to read that in Judges chapter 20. Then here's this other one. This is a time when people went up to go fight the Philistines when God said, don't go. They said, no, it's good. We can go and we'll fight and we'll do it like we did the last time. They got beat and the Ark of the Covenant of God got ripped off them, and the Philistines were like, hey, oh, we won. And they took the Ark of the Covenant back. And there's Israel without the Ark. You know, like Raiders of the Lost. Without the Ark, without the Ten Commandments and the staff of Aaron and manna in a jar inside of it, it got swiped off them because they weren't listening to God. If you're not in a place where God is and you go in for a fight, you get your butt kicked. Got to be hearing from God, which brings us back to the Holy Spirit again. Be hearing from God. What happened was God didn't stand for the Ark being in their care. And they all grew sick in a very distinctive way that they identified as having to do with the Ark being there. And they put the Ark on a cart and they sent the cow away. They took the calf that way and the cow still went that way. And they were like, that's definitely God. Cows don't leave their calves. And when an abandoned cow with the Ark of the Covenant came walking into town, and the Israelites are like, Is that the ark? They knew that God had returned it to them. And it says here in 1 Samuel chapter 7, they gathered at Mitzvah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord. I won't even drink this. And they fasted on that day. And they said there, we've sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mitzvah. Solemn repentance is another place where you see fasting. And then when Saul and Jonathan were killed in battle and they got nailed to a wall without heads, there were these people at Gibeon who went and got them down. And they gave them a proper burial. And it says they took their bones after the cremation and buried them under a tamarisk tree at Jabesh and fasted for 7 days. So deep grief and mourning for loss. Fasting. The three first places in the Bible you see fasting. Seeking wisdom in battle, solemn repentance, and deep grief and mourning. Here's one other thing about fasting. I want to finish on this. We're talking about fasting in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is written in Greek. You can search on fasting in Greek and see everywhere in the Bible that it shows up. The Old Testament is written in Hebrew. But somebody translated the Old Testament into Greek. So you find where fasting in Greek is even in the Old Testament. And so then you look at the verses in the Old Testament, like I did, and I'm telling you about fasting. But here's what you need to know about the Hebrew word that is translated in English, fasting, right? It's this word called tsaba. And it has the meaning of to wage war or to serve. And did you ever think about fasting as more than, oy, my stomach's grumbling? Because fasting is to go to the place where the battle is and to stand and to, I won't go, Lord, until we've met. And that's the battle. In prayer, to see the Lord. The name Israel means to strive with God. It doesn't mean to fight him. It means, Lord, oh God, this has to. You know, it's not, I am gonna not eat until you give me what I want, Lord, and I'm still not eating because I don't have what I want. It's, I won't go away. Food is not more important than this. Oh God, what would you say? What can we do? At least let me go away justified, knowing that you've heard me. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Let the church listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Praying and fasting. Because it's Lent, we do that thing, I give up chocolate, I'll give up candy, but the scripture is really clear in Psalm 51, O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. So we're not giving God something so we'll get something from God. Because he doesn't need it. But we want to be near to God, and that's something that we're talking about here. Skipping a whole page of Isaiah chapter 58. You have to read that. That's homework. Or else we'll never get out of here before 12:30, okay? Isaiah 58 is God's chosen fast. Is this a fast that I require? That you show yourself like a bent reed? No. So read Isaiah 58 if you're into the subject of fasting. Today we learn from the scripture the importance of prayer and fasting in discerning the voice and direction of the Holy Spirit. Today in scripture we see Saul, whose identity changes because of his actions, standing before leaders of the world to demonstrate God at work. That's what the church is called to do. This sort of Christian witness is dangerous. Now, in this country, you're not going to get picked out. You're not going to get fired from your job. They're not going to make a mark on your house and come with a bulldozer next week and knock it over. But when you do stand for God, it costs you. And we're not willing to experience even those little costs. Losing face. Seeming like you believe in old-fashioned stuff that isn't real. That is dangerous, because if you lose your clout with your neighbors, then the next time you talk, you're not connecting. So it does have to be something we hear from God about. It does have to be something that God is doing that people see, that you give an answer for what God has done. And it needs to be people who hear from God and who follow him. And it is convincing to those watching on who are waiting to decide about what they think about this stuff. So God guides and he keeps his people close to him, prayer and fasting. And prayer and fasting are the two useful practices to help stay close that the Holy Spirit has held up today for us to consider. So let's pray. God, it's true, these things, and you are a good God. And so we're asking for you to, will you give us the opportunities in this week to practice these things that we've talked about, this guidance by the Holy Spirit, the witness of the believer, the relevance of prayer and fasting to a life in modern day Scotland. And we commit ourselves to you. If it's you, and not just the guy at the front, will you confirm it in our lives? I believe that it's you as speaking as the guy at the front. But will you confirm it in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. As you guide us, Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.